I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. 16 years ago, the launching of this church was about the kingdom of God, not about our personal preferences. And you heard the changes that Judy has gone through. When we think of the kingdom of God, those of you with your Bibles, you do have an outline. I've given you some verses starting out that deal with the expansion of the kingdom of God. Now, in chapter 1, the last words of Jesus, he's preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. When you go to the end of Acts, the last chapter of Acts, last couple of verses, Paul is teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. So that's the bookends of the book of Acts. But when we reach Acts chapter 8, we're looking at expansion of the God, of the kingdom, and we'll talk more about that. But let me show you the verses, seven verses in the passages that we're going to look at this morning that deal with expanding the kingdom. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. God's putting the word out, the kingdom. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. In verse 5, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. A non-Jewish group. This is the first preaching to Gentiles. Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. What's happening? The kingdom is expanding. Verse 25, after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Again, the expansion of the kingdom of God. And then the last two verses, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. What God's doing is moving Philip to meet the Ethiopian, who eventually caused a revival in Ethiopia. Verse 40, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And so what you see in chapter 8 is this incredible movement of the kingdom of God. And so this morning I want to talk about how to be used to expand the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to be looking first six verses, then we'll jump to about verse 25, 26, and finish this morning. And the first one, and this is the most important. You heard Judy say, it's not about us, it's about Jesus, it's about God. Expanding the kingdom means being in love with Jesus. If we're not in love with Jesus, it's not going to happen. And there was Saul giving approval to his death, talking about the stoning of Stephen. And by the way, being stoned 2,000 years ago is different to being stoned today, okay? Just want to make sure you're awake on that. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church. That meant that Saul and the others saw those who loved Jesus and they wanted to kill them. You follow what I'm saying? So it starts with you and me loving Jesus, and things start happening with the expansion of the kingdom of God. In fact, I want you to look at Revelation 12 up on the screen. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser, that's the devil, of our brethren have been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. And so the love that Jesus demands is love greater than our lives. Amen? Before I read Revelation 2, Jamie, I've given you a verse. This is the last verse in Ephesians. As I was doing my devotion this morning, it was clear to me, and it made me stop and think. Paul closes this, and this is in the early 60s. 60 AD, when he's writing this letter. He says, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. undying love, more than loving themselves. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about fighting the God of convenience. Today, we're battling the God of self-love. When we look at Revelation 2, I'll give you verse 1 and then 4 and 5. There's a couple of things I want you to know about this. It says, to the angel of the church. The angel is really the senior pastor, because it's going to call for repentance. Angels don't repent. They're either obedient or they get kicked out of heaven. The lampstand is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is Jesus, and he says in the previous verses a couple of good things, but then he says to the church at Ephesus, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Uh-oh. Jamie, can you go back to the previous verse? This is Revelation 2, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6. You ever got tongue-tied? All right. 60 AD. Paul is saying undying love. Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, was one of the strongest churches in the New Testament. Yet 40 years later, when John pencils or writes the book of Revelation, we have this. We'll come back to Revelation 2. Repent because you've left your first love. Therefore, remember where you've fallen and repent. Do the deed you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and remove your lampstand, that is the Holy Spirit, out of its place unless you repent. It makes me stop and think, what gives? They fell out of love with Jesus. And it was more about themselves. So the kingdom of God is about loving Jesus first. If that didn't happen, game over. The second thing I want to say, and there's quite a few, expanding the kingdom is to fulfill your responsibilities. The worst person during the time of Acts chapter 8 is the Apostle Paul, or known as Saul. You have there, and Saul was there giving approval to the death of Stephen as they stoned him. The worst person. Now you have another person that's receptive to the gospel. The Ethiopian, notice with me in verse 27. So he started out on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. And what I'm trying to say is that Jesus Christ has called us to reach all the people. Now in fact, Jamie, I think I gave you another passage in Ephesians. There it is. We misinterpret this passage thinking it's the curtain. It's not. Around the Jewish temple, around the tabernacle, before they built the temple, they had a curtain, a boundary for the Jewish people to come in. But outside that curtain, that wall, is where the non-Jews had to be. They couldn't go into the inner circle or inner square to worship God. But when Jesus rose from the grave, when he died and rose from the grave, he tore down the curtain where you and I can go straight to Jesus. But he also tore down the barrier that separated Gentile and Jew, that separates all sorts of people. When we look at people, we don't look and say, is that the type of person I want in my church? We say, that's who Jesus died, and I need to share Jesus Christ with. Amen? And so he destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That's that wall that separates the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, as we speak of Saul, he is a self-righteous person. When we think of the Ethiopian, he is seeking righteousness. That's why he's reading the book of Isaiah. In our churches today, we have brand expander. That is, we want people to conform to our image. My job isn't to conform you to the image of covenant, because our image is Jesus Christ. I want you to be shaped in an image of Jesus where you look and act like Jesus. And if you're not in love with Jesus, Jesus isn't going to change you. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we a brand expander wanting the church to cater to our needs and people cater to our needs to look like us and smell like us? Or are we wanting to be a kingdom expander, reaching people so that they can conform to Jesus. Now remember, the eunuch was castrated. He was not allowed to enter the inner parts until Jesus destroyed that wall. And we tend to look at people and say, they're not good enough, they're messed up, they can't be served, they can't be used by God. Yes, they can. And so as we talk about the expansion of the kingdom of God, It is knowing our responsibilities, and that is to share the good news of Jesus with everyone. The third thing I want to say, expanding the kingdom is surrendering your rights and leaving your comfort zone. Back in verse 1, Stephen has been stoned to death. Now, before I move further, I want you to think with me. Acts chapter 1:8, what has Jesus said? And when the Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world, the ends of the world. Now, what's happening between chapter 8 and chapter 1 or chapter 2 when the Spirit comes down? Revival in Jerusalem. Incredible things. Everybody's happy. Oh, let's not change anything. But for us to grow, there has to be change. And change isn't popular. Change isn't easy. But for the kingdom of God to move forward, we have to embrace change. And this is the change that I'm trying to say to you. It is surrendering your rights because we love Jesus more than we love ourselves and leaving our comfort zone. And so because the church would not fulfill Acts chapter 1:8, God has to allow persecution to get everybody outside to start fulfilling his agenda. Amen? Amen? Is God pushing you to your limits, to your comfort zone, to join him in what he's doing? Notice this. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Jamie, we're going to skip the next slide. Matthew 16. Mark 8, and another passage in Luke. This is what Jesus says. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. Mark, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. In Luke 9, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? It means I'm not in charge, no one's in charge, but Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verse 2, godly men buried Stephen, mourned deeply for him. These guys weren't afraid that Paul's trying to kill everybody in that persecution. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women, put them into prison. Expanding the kingdom of God is recognizing and staying connected to the voice of God. You have it here. If you're not connected to God, you're not going to hear his voice. If you're not reading His word, the Bible, you're not going to hear his voice. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They were connected. Do I need to back up to what happened in Acts chapter 2? They knew the word. They had a relationship. They're growing. But they were too consumed on the enjoyment of being in a revival instead of doing a revival. And so they recognized God. And they join. And notice this. Expanding the kingdom is being ready for divine appointments. You do not know who you're going to meet today that needs Jesus. You do not know, but God does, because he knows everything. And when you meet someone that needs Jesus, that's called a divine appointment. Verses 4 and 5. Those who have been scattered preached the word whenever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaim the Messiah there. Most likely the same city where Jesus went, met the Samaritan woman at the well. And they're preaching the gospel. And a revival breaks out because he is sharing his faith and he's sharing his story. Now notice with me, expanding the kingdom is going without knowing, and it requires faith that God will use you. In that persecution, Philip didn't know where to go, but God sent him to Samaria. He's in a revival. This will come up in a moment. He has a desert experience trying to figure out what's going on. And then God places him in another revival. That equals kingdom expansion. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, proclaimed the Messiah there. So for us to leave, to move to where God wants us to be, it requires faith. I wish God could write out a plan for everything. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But if there's a plan without God, it's not of God. There is an element of faith And that element of faith, Henry Blackaby says, it requires adjustments in our life to believe him. Faith always leads us to a crisis. When I look at Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith, not by sight. We have to obey the voice of God. Up on the screen, you do see the outline. Revival plus desert experience plus revival equals kingdom expansion. Have you gotten so comfortable where you are that you're unwilling to join God today? If you notice, Jerusalem was having a revival. The disciples didn't want to leave. Man, this is great. Hold on, they forgot their mission. And so God has to cause a persecution. They all flee out in the desert, other areas. They refocus on the mission. And then here you have a revival that takes place, kingdom expansion. When you look at Philip, he's in Jerusalem, desert experience, Samaria. A revival takes place, kingdom expansion. While that revival's going on in Samaria, what does God do? Sends an angel. Leave, I'm going to send you to a desert road. What? No plan, no act. He goes. And he goes, and that's where he meets the Ethiopian leader. And that Ethiopian leader comes to Christ, and what happens? Kingdom expansion in another country. The next thing I want to say, expanding the kingdom occurs when there's transformation in the lives of others. This is the end of the beginning of my sermon. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said, for with shrieks and pure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were here, so that there was great joy in the city. A revival, transformations taking place. Our city needs transformation. Do you need transformation? I do. There's times I battle the flesh. Expanding the kingdom is living under the lordship of Jesus. Now let's talk about the story of Philip and the eunuch. So there's a revival going on in Samaria. Oh, we like revivals. We want to stay in it. Like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's camp out and spend the top there. But what does God say? No, it's not about you. It's about my agenda and the kingdom. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, follow me. Jerusalem, Samaria. Philip's up north. Now he's called to go southwest of Jerusalem to the road that goes to Gaza so that people travel to go through Egypt back into Africa. That's the road the eunuch is on, the Ethiopian eunuch. And so notice this, the angel speaks. So he started out. I'll let you interpret what that means. Verse 27, so he started out. He started out. He obeyed the word of God. Because he loved God. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Candace. Modern day, that would be, her name would be Candace, Queen Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. But he couldn't get into the inner part because why? He's non-Jewish, a castrated man. But Jesus has already broken the barrier. But he's receptive to the things of God. So he's reading the Bible. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he's coming back. He was sitting in his chair reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Expanding the kingdom of God is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Notice this in 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip runs up to it, heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. And Philip asked a great question. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand what you're reading? Next time you see someone reading the Bible at the grocery store or at Starbucks or whatever, ask them, do you understand what they're reading? Now, if you don't know, you better be reading your Bible yourself. Okay? You better be studying your Bible. Philip runs up and asks him, And then notice what we see in verse 31. How can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up, sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. It's Isaiah 53, by the way. He was led like sheep to the slaughter as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Expanding the kingdom is about you and me telling others about Jesus, period. If you're not telling people about Jesus, I'm not talking about inviting people to church. That's good. But the best thing is talking to people about Jesus. The expansion is when we tell others about Jesus. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. He's telling the good. He's doing personal evangelism right here. Expanding the kingdom is obeying God's word. In verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, so he goes and do it. I've talked a little bit about that. I don't need to talk more. In Acts 31, I've lost my spot, I'm sorry. Last thing I want to say, actually two things. Expanding the kingdom is obeying God's word. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Thank you, Jamie, for keeping me in line. I love you, man, you're awesome. Anyway, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, here's some water, shouldn't I be baptized? Now, why is the eunuch saying that? Because he understands the Great Commission. Go therefore, as you go, tell all people about the gospel. And then when they accept it, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy. He's going, I've trusted Christ. Here's some water. Can I be baptized? Yeah. And Philip baptizes him. Okay? That's what that passage. So they're obeying God's word. They're going and doing. Now, the last thing is interesting. Because this is where God wants to use. Some of you in this room, you feel you're disqualified because some mess up in your life. There's a Greek word for that, baloney. Expanding the kingdom is being used by God to continue not your story, His story. Notice what we have here. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. How the Spirit took him, we don't know. It could have been something miraculous. It doesn't matter. Spirit took Philip where he wanted Philip to be. Philip, however, approached it as a tossed and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So what you have here, again, is that formula. Revival, desert experience. And when he reaches Caesarea, another revival, and he stays there until, guess who shows up? The Apostle Paul, later in the book of Acts. He stops and visits with Philip. Didn't I just give you chill bumps? How God is working in the lives of people that we don't think are worthy to be saved or not like us or whatever. But God is doing it. And expanding to God is about you and me joining Him. Doing our part, loving Him, and surrendering to Him. And my question for us this morning, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to surrender and say, I quit. It's yours, Lord. I'm nothing but a pencil in your hand. That pencil doesn't think. That pencil doesn't do. It's in the hand of God, and God's doing the thinking, and God's doing the writing. You and I are pencils. If you say that you are more than a pencil, you have pride. That's self-love. Paul says, I'm the lowest of the least in order to preach. And that means we have to all humble ourselves before a mighty, holy God, saying, God, here I am. Use me for your glory in whatever capacity because you know best. Father God, we pray to you this morning. We thank you for this time together for worship. But Father, our prayer more than anything is for us to fall in love with you again. Help us to focus on you. Help us to rededicate ourselves to you. Help us to surrender. Father, if there's one here, one watching that does not know Jesus, I pray they'd come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior today, right now. How? By asking Him to forgive you, believing that He did die on the cross and rose from the grave for you. If you're unsure, would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I know You died on the cross and rose from the grave. I believe, and I want to know You. Will You forgive me of my sins? I turn from my life to follow You. I make a promise to follow You now, every day for the rest of my life. Father, forgive me, but thank You for saving me. Will You save me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand as we sing Firm Foundation.